All right, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. There's Mr. Ed. It's good to see you back. Hen felt good, and he's back tonight, and so that's good. If we make the claim that we are close to someone, maybe a spouse, a friend, parent, child, grandchild, whomever, you know, we have this relationship with this individual. We what? You know, you have your best friend or you have your spouse and there is this relationship. We do what? Well, if he writes us a letter, a text, a card, a note, you read it. All right. You don't get a card from someone you love and never open it and file it away in a desk drawer. You don't get the text and delete it before you have any idea what it says. We make that connection. We make that effort. If we're close to someone, we stay as close as possible. We spend time together. We set aside time as friends to go eat, to play golf, to talk, to attend something together. If we're close, we spend as much time as possible with each other. We spend time with our spouse. We spend time with our children. If we're close, we talk at every opportunity. The opportunity presents itself and we're immersed in the conversation. And that's evident when we get here for worship. And there's a nod over here and a nod over there and a nod over there. And we're conversing and we're spending time communicating. If you're close to someone, you share stories. You share comments with other people. Just pick one out of this group. I spend a lot of time with Roger. And so a lot of times when I'm with someone else, I find myself referring to Roger and I were discussing this Friday. Or Roger said this. Now granted, that's not always worth anything. But no, seriously though, you get close to someone and you find yourself in some ways being molded into that individual so that it comes out when you're in another crowd. If we're close to someone, we can measure to some extent that closeness by those types of interactions and probably others that might cross your mind that you could use to measure friendship or a marital relationship to determine, you know, am I really close to that individual? So here's a question for you. Now, this is going to be a series of questions tonight. Would similar criteria, the same ones I just listed, and maybe ones that are going through your mind as well, be helpful in measuring our closeness to God? Would that list that I just went through, if I sat down and I wrote that down, and I wrote it down about my spouse, and then I turned around and I was going to apply it to God, would those standards help me when I got to the bottom of the list say, you know, I'm this close to God, or I'm this close, or I'm this close? I think so. I think the things that I picked out tonight can be used as a yardstick, in a sense, to measure how close am I to God. I mean, talking about a text or a note, if I never read what God has written to me, thinking about spending time with our friends and family, if I never spend any time with God, if I never talk to Him, if I never share Him with others, how close can I really be? How much of a claim can I make that I even have a relationship with Him beyond the surface, beyond the claim? He has promised, and this is the text I gave you. I'm just going to paraphrase part of verse 8, and we'll come back and look at it in a little more detail in just a second. But basically, God says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. James says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. So we're going to speak in the first person for God. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And so He said, there's a way we can get there. There's a way that I can close the gap in the relationship, that I can get closer to my God. And so we're going to go back and use that measuring stick. And so next to the last question, we're going to say the other one to the end. How do I draw near to God? Or re-asking the same question, how do I get as close to Him as possible? And I think it's based on the same ways that we use to get closer to each other. And so let's look at those for just a second. Number one, we get into His Word. Turn to Romans chapter 10. And you might want to stick a finger there in James, because we will be back there if I didn't tell you that in time. Sorry. The Bible is the greatest love letter ever written. It's God pouring out His heart to us. That I created you in my image. I had the relationship and you shattered it. And so from that moment on, I began putting into action the plan that I already had before the foundation of the world to bring you back to me. That's what that book is. It's God's letter to me, how to bridge the gap. And it's written to all of us. It's very personal. You can read the Bible as if you're reading it one-on-one. And God is saying, Monica, this is for you. Rhonda, this is for you. Because it's about each one of us individually. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The belief that I need, the knowledge that I need, the understanding that I need, the closeness that I need is going to come from reading what He's written to me. Because you see, He's not going to physically, He's already done it once in Christ, so He's not going to do it again to the end of time. He's not going to come from heaven. He's not going to sit down at the dinner table with you and talk face to face. He doesn't have to. He's already written it. He's already given it to us in a form that we can understand. It's the greatest story ever written. I mean, if you're a reader, you read everything you can get your hands on. And that's one thing that I know that with certain individuals in here, I can always connect if I can't think of anything else to ask you. Hey, what book are you reading this week? And we're talking about the greatest literary masterpiece in the world. It's been at the top of the bestseller list since the day it was written. And it keeps staying there. If I want to know God, if I want to be close to Him, I have to go see what He has to say. I mean, we just talked about that measure in our earthly relationships. If I'm going to claim a friendship with you and you're going to send me a text, I'm going to read it. I'm going to see what you have to say, and then I'm going to respond in kind. And so God's already written it. And so if I want to be close to Him, I have to let Him talk to me every day without exception. And that's through that written Word. Number two, if I'm going to draw closer to God, I'm going to stay as close as possible. I'm going to spend as much time as possible with Him. I'm going to be as connected as I can possibly be. To me, the idea is live near the cross. Christ was separated on the cross by my sins so that we can draw near to Him. He, for that moment in time, gave up His relationship with the Father to create a relationship for us, to mend the relationship that we had broken. Go back to James. I want to be close to God. I want to have a relationship. Watch this. Watch it continuing from where we left off in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Well, what do you do? What do you do to bridge the gap, to get closer, to be as close and as intimate with God as I can be? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. be miserable. Mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. How do you do it? You get to the cross. You remove the barriers. You remove the sin. He talks about dirty hands and dirty mind and dirty heart. He said you get rid of that stuff and you can get closer to God. You see, God's holy. God's pure. God is separated from us by that as long as our sin is there in the gulf. But the cross is the bridge. And the blood of the Lamb is what cleanses us so that we can cross the bridge and we can be in His presence. Hebrews chapter 10. Absolutely beautiful statement. Series of statements. Absolutely beautiful idea that the blood of Christ opens the passageway. Opens up the gate. Throws it wide open. Pulls back the curtain to the throne room of God and allows me access. Verse 19. Since therefore we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That hadn't been allowed to them in the tabernacle. That hadn't been allowed to them in the temple. That was for the priest. And he's saying we, all of us, priest in Christ, have this access now. By a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil. That is His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near, let us get closer to Him with a sincere heart. Having full assurance of faith. There is, by its very nature, some trepidation when you come into the presence of a holy God. If you don't believe me, ask Isaiah. Oh my goodness, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm from unclean people. I have no right to be here. And yet the Hebrew writer says we can approach Him with full assurance that it's okay for us to be there. Because of the relationship that comes through the blood of Christ. So you want to get close to God, get close to Jesus. Get in the blood, and it'll allow you to enter into the very throne room of God. The only way to be close to God is to be close to His Son. John 14 and verse 6, there's no other way to get to the Father except through me. Let's go on with our criteria. It said if we're close to someone on earth, we talk. We talk as much as possible. It may be on the phone. It may be on person. It may be through text. Maybe through email. We're communicating. We're letting each other know what's going on in our lives. We're making requests. We're offering prayers. We're doing whatever it takes, but we're communicating as much as we possibly can. Prayer is our direct link to God. When Jesus is teaching them how to pray in Matthew 6, verse 9, what does He say? Oh, the holy, majestic one who separated from me, of whom I have no relationship, I need to address your throne. Is that what Matthew 6 says that Jesus allows us to do in prayer? Our Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, I am opening up the lines of communication and it's with your Father. It's with Abba. It is with your dad. It is with one with whom you have a relationship. Yes, He's holy. Yes, He's creator. Yes, He's God and divine on the throne, but He's my Father. And through the blood of Jesus, I can be close to Him. And I can talk to Him. I can talk to the one who said, let there be light. And it came into existence. Think about your prayer life like that. I can approach the greatest being in existence, and He'll listen to me. I got something to add to that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, it's always open. Pray without ceasing. You can do it all the time, and God never gets tired of listening. There's never a busy signal. He never hangs up on you. He never has the secretary take it. He never has you leave a voicemail. To put it in modern terms, you have God's cell number and you can use it anytime you want and He'll always answer. He's talking to you and He's also listening to you. You want to be close to Him? Talk to Him. It's hard to draw close to someone you never talked to. You know, you have a friend in high school, he or she goes separate ways from you. I'm 500 miles. Well, he's actually moved to Dallas now. I'm over 600 miles away from the closest friend I had in school. You know, we're not nearly as close as we used to be because we just can't do the things we've always done. And so I can't make that claim with God. You know, if I'm separating myself, I'm not talking with Him, I'm not spending time with Him, I'm not listening to Him, it's kind of hard to say, God, I'm close to You. Next one I want you to think about is talk about Him. Now, I kind of said it in a joking way about Roger, but it's the truth. You know, you spend enough time with someone on this earth, and the things you talk about and the things you see together and the things you do together begin to creep into your conversation with other people. The more we talk to others about God, the closer we get to Him. Because He becomes more and more a part of our lives and a part of who we are because we're absorbing Him. Sharing Him, sharing my story about Him reconnects me to Him every time. I'm plugging back in to the source of the story, the source of my life. To share Him, Mark 16, 15 and 16. You know that passage? It's the one that's real similar to Mark 28, 18 through 20. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Jesus said, I want you to go into the world. I want you to talk about Me. Well, to do that, I have to know Him. And the more I talk about Him, the more I know Him. The more I know about Him. The more I share, the closer I get. It is hard to claim that God has had much impact on my life if He never comes up in my conversation. If I've never mentioned Him to anybody else, and you can say that about a spouse, you can say it about a friend, you can say it about a child. If we never mention these people, they really have not made much difference to us. They've not changed us that much. You want proof of that? Find a new grandparent. And you get every picture and every story about that grandchild because there's been an impact made. If God's made an impact on my life, I'm going to talk about Him. And as I talk about Him, I'm going to draw closer to Him. Last one, you want to be closer to God, assemble with other Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, and 2 Corinthians 6:16 all deal with the idea that our body is the temple of God. All right. So every time I walk into this building and it's full of Christians with God's presence, I'm getting closer to Him through you. Then you add Matthew 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am also. You want to get closer to God? Get where He is. If He's here every time we gather in His name to worship through the Son, get there. Be there. If I want to be close to Him, be where He's at. We understand that in the physical sense. We want to be close to each other. We have to get where each other is. And so God says, I'll visit your world. I'll be there in your worship. I'll be in you individually. I'll be in you collectively. And I'll be there every time you gather. Well, if I'm going to make a claim that I want to be close to Him, and I know that, hey, at 5 o'clock on Sunday night, God's going to be in the building, I'm going to be here because I'm going to be where He's at. Since He's living in you and since He's present every time, it's going to be my desire. So here's your final question. How close to God are you? Using those criteria, and maybe others, as I said, that you might have thought of, how close are you? If you never open this book and let Him talk to you, if you have no idea what He says on a particular subject, if you've never met Him at the cross, and you're not continuing, even if you have, to meet Him at the cross on a daily basis through Christ, if you never talk to Him, if prayer's just not a part of your life, If you never talk about Him, if you never go where He is, how close can you really be? If you don't do those things, you're going to have a hard time arguing in this life and then on judgment day that you have a relationship with Him at all. Get in the Word. Get close to the cross. Talk to Him every day. Let Him talk to you. Talk about Him. Go where He is. And if you'll do those things on a daily basis, I promise you, you're going to be closer to Him at the end of that day than you were the day before. And if you go back and you look at what we were looking at in James chapter 4, and we're going to conclude with this. Verse 7 says, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he flee from you. Okay, you want to get close to God? You want to see the benefit to it? The benefit's back in verse 7. Satan's out of your life. Satan's running in terror because you've drawn close to God. You have strengthened the relationship. And he's not going to be able to get in between you. How close are you tonight? If you need to work on it, work on it. And if you're not a child of God, you're separated by your sins. You're separated by a gulf that you cannot bridge without the blood of Christ. And you need to come and you need to submit. You need to obey the gospel as we stand and sing.